Hebrews chapter 10. And we'll be reading from verse 1, but I want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, and just read that to you. Says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins." Now we know from the scriptures that Christ never had any sin of his own that he suffered for. But he suffered for sins not his own. He suffered for the sins of his people that were laid on him by God the Father. "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin," that is our Lord Jesus Christ, "that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now, if we're believers, if we believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, not some body of superstition or something that somebody else dreamed up, but the testimony of the scriptures concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, we can know that we are made in Christ the very righteousness of God. We are clothed with the righteousness of God, and that will declare us just in that day. We will join that band of just or justified men made perfect. So, he was once offered. Only once. Now look back at Hebrews 10, and let's read those first several verses. But I want to look back first at chapter 9, verse 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself often. Now, the high priests did that. They offered sacrifices often. Every year they had to enter into the holy place, into the Holy of Holies, with the blood of others, with the blood of bulls and goats, and that blood was non-effectual to the removing of sin. It could never put away sin. God had no respect unto that in regard of putting away sin forever, just for the non-imputation of that sin for a year. But that sin remained. God looked at them as his stayed sin for a season. "Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must have he often suffered since the foundation of the world." We know that he did not often suffer, nor does he now often suffer, but he has suffered only one time. Once in the end of the world hath Christ appeared, put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Our Lord Jesus Christ put away sin. Our sins forever.
Amen.
"Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin." And he said, and their sins, "I will be merciful to their iniquities, and their iniquities and their sins I will remember no more. For the sake of the offering of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ once forever." Only once. "And as it appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." So Christ was once offered. Now notice that. Once. Just once. At the appointed time. In just the appointed way. At the appointed place. That had been fixed from all eternity in the covenant of grace. Christ once offered himself to put away sin.
Amen.
Now, believers, sins are gone.
They're
put away forever. They have no sin, and they stand justified in the eyes of God without any sin, with no guilt laid to their charge whatsoever, but wholly righteous by the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on the tree. And he hung on that tree only once. God replaced that system of worship that required a often sacrifice for sin. Christ offered for sin only once. And he never had sin of any kind. So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. When he was hung up on that cross, he bore all the sin of all the elect of all ages. And by that one offering, he put their sin away and perfected forever them that are sanctified or are set apart unto salvation. Mm-hmm. Now let's begin reading here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come. That's all it had, was a shadow, a picture, a type of good things to come. Mm-hmm. And the Passover lamb is certainly a shadow and a type. When I see the blood, God said, when I see the blood. Mm-hmm. That's the end of the story. That's the end. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Not that I'll consider your deeds after I see the blood or before, but when I see the blood. Mm-hmm. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Mm-hmm. Our guilt is gone. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Under the law we died in and with our Lord Jesus Christ. We're dead to sin. Now those things are just truth. Those are biblical, spiritual, scriptural truth. Yeah. And they are our foundation stone. Amen. Christ Jesus himself is that rock. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. All the demons of hell and all the wicked men of this world cannot change one letter of the scriptures and one point of our justification. We have absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with our justification before God. We are in Christ, and he is all of our justification. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never, with those sacrifices, which were often year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. It just can't do it. Hebrews 9. Let's see. Hebrews 9. Verse 9. Now, let's back up then to verse 7. But into the second with the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Christ never offered for himself. He made one offering. That high priest offered twice. He entered in with a sin offering for the people, and then for himself first, and then for the people. Christ entered in only once. Mm-hmm. Once. The Holy Ghost is signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. It was in existence in Christ, but it wasn't made manifest. While as yet the first tabernacle was standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him perfect, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, to his conscience. There's always that nagging thing. You're guilty. You're a sinner. So, the perfection there is in our standing. Now, our state and our standing are two different things. In our state, we're sinners. We're sinners before God. We just are. Thought, word, and deed. We're imperfect in our state. But in our standing, in our position in Christ, we're perfect in His perfection. Amen. All right. Verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. They couldn't make the comers thereunto perfect as pertaining to the conscience. For if they could have, then would they not have ceased to be offered. Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. Now we remember our sins. And we're very, I know for speaking for myself, I'm very ashamed and repulsed at my sins of my youth and later. But I'm not condemned. I have a remembrance of them, but I do not have a spirit of judgment unto condemnation and death. I know that in Christ Jesus alone I stand justified from the works of the law. And as long as I keep my eye on my standing in grace in Christ, I'm not troubled by sin. But when I get to looking at myself, that's a bad story. So I try not to do it too much. All right. Verse 3. But in those sacrifices there is remembrance again made of sins every year. The very fact that they had to be offered every year testified that they were not put away forever. It was a testimony to those people that their sin question had not been fully answered. But in that Christ offered once and then sat down on the right hand of God, it testifies to us that there is no question concerning us. We are perfectly justified from all things from which we could not be justified by the law of Moses, Acts 13:39. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. They were just insufficient. The nature that sinned had to provide a perfect justification. And therefore, Christ took human nature into union with himself by taking the seed of the woman, by taking of the substance of the woman, into union with himself and becoming a man. Now that's a mystery that cannot be unfolded. But we can believe it. God himself, God the Son, became a man. He was the only one that could answer, that could fully make reparation to the injury that was offered to the law and law, justice, and honor and truth of God in the sin of Adam. And he perfectly answered the question, not for himself, but for all of those who were given him as his spouse from eternity past. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Therefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. A body with human life in it. A body with blood in it. And a body that would be his sacrifice, wherewith he would put away sin forever. Now turn back to chapter 8. Verse 3. For every high priest is also ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Now, what he had was his humanity. He offered himself. And he himself offered himself. He was the officiating priest. Now, his chief act of priesthood, and really it was the offender under the law could slay the animal and did, but it was the priest who offered blood. So Christ offered his blood in the presence of God. Now some say he carried his blood to heaven. His blood was shed. That's all I really know. And it was shed for sin. I know that. And for those sins for which his blood was shed, those sins are done away forever. And he put away the sins of everyone who believes. Now that's sufficient. That's sufficient knowledge. Some say, well, his priesthood didn't actually begin until he entered into heaven, where he sits as the great high priest, sits at the right hand of God, continuing to make an intercession for us. Well, that's true. But his actions on earth, especially when he gave himself a sacrifice for sin, was, seems to me, a part of the office of priesthood. Although in the typical priesthood, the sinner that brought the sacrifice could slay the beast. Anyhow, Christ has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Now I know this, I know that right now we have a great high priest, we have a man seated at the right hand of God who continually makes intercession for us based upon his shed blood that he shed while he was here upon the earth. That can never be taken away from us. Christ intercedes for us. And all of our hope, all of our dependence, all of our security, all of our assurance, everything that we have toward God is in that shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not anything we ever did. People say, what will you do with Christ? What in the world can you do with him? You can't do anything with Christ. He can do something with you. And they say, well, will you accept Christ? Well, has he accepted you? Are you made accepted in the beloved? If you can believe the gospel, if you can believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God and that he suffered to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, take yourself out of the picture. If you can believe the Son of God, then, brother, the Lord has visited you and given you faith. Yes. made you to know who Christ is, what he did, where he is now, and what is your hope in the day to come. Rest, you're left completely out of the picture. The Lord Jesus Christ did it all. Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owe. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. He said that in Psalm 40. Turn to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. And let's begin reading at verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. That's certainly speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my foot upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even the praises of our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now there's no doubt about that. Many, even all the elect of God, shall see it and rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in him because their sins are gone. They're no longer guilty before God. They have no guilt before God. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn away to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. The Lord had thought on his church in Christ from eternity past. He had beheld them in the beauty of holiness in Christ Jesus. He delighted in them because he delights in our Lord Jesus Christ. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are the more than can be remembered. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. They were only a type, picture of what our Lord Jesus Christ would accomplish. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. All the scriptures are written about the Lord Jesus Christ. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. You know who that great congregation is? It's right here this morning. We're that great congregation. He said, where as many as two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. He visits us and declares his righteousness, his perfect salvation in the great congregation, even with feeble men of feeble, stammering tongues and lips, and imperfect in themselves, yet he makes them his people to know of his love to them. He speaks to us by his Spirit through the Scriptures. Withhold not thou tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Well, we are preserved in our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, Hebrews 10:8. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which were offered by the law, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Now it's that eternal will, that the eternal purpose of God that our Lord Jesus Christ came to fulfill. Mm-hmm. He taketh away the first. He's talking about the covenant of works, the law of Moses. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Now that second is actually the eternal, the everlasting covenant of grace. By the which will? What will? By the will of God. Mm-hmm. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. Mm-hmm. Just once. Not oftentimes, but once. In the end of the world hath Christ appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now that once for all, or that, you know, the interpreters thought to clear that up, but to me they just muddled it up. They just, it's another place where the translators, I think, missed the point. He made one sacrifice for sin forever. He offered himself once. Yeah. Just once. Yeah. Not twice. Right. Not often. And every high priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. Now the Jew, they were practicing the old Jewish religion still at the temple at the time this was written. And it was written about between 50 and 67 A.D. So that the temple and the priesthood was not blotted out and taken out of the way until A.D. 90 by Titus, when he plowed Jerusalem. So the priests were still standing every year, offering the same sacrifices, morning and evening sacrifices, sin offerings, burnt offering, that could never do anything about putting away sin. But this man, our Lord Jesus Christ, but this man, somebody in the nature who sinned, in the nature that sinned, Satan deceived Adam. Or deceived Eve, and Adam sinned willfully. And Satan overturned and ruined our nature. Well, in that nature, our Lord Jesus Christ overturned and ruined Satan. He destroyed him, destroyed his works. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. What does that mean? That means that he and all his members are fully accepted in the presence of God and found not guilty of any transgression or any offense ever offered toward God. That's what that means. From hence expecting until his enemies, and that's what we were in our old self, in our human nature, we were the enemies of God. The carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And the carnal man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, neither can he know them. Until his enemies be made his footstool. And that's what we are now. We confess that we're nothing, have nothing, are nothing in ourselves, but we rejoice that we are indeed what God is making in Christ Jesus. So we look not at what we are in ourselves, but we look at what God is making in us. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This is that one new man, that one perfect man that is created in true righteousness and holiness in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not before God what we are in ourselves. We are what we are before God, what we are in Christ. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are set apart. By one offering, it's a done deal. As surely as Christ was nailed up on that tree, we are made the righteousness of God in Him. He hath perfected forever in Himself them that are sanctified. So we have great hope, an assured hope, a good hope through grace of all that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. And we're soon leaving this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of God, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And James wrote, he said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, that's people who commit spiritual adultery against Christ by loving the world, know ye not that he is a friend of this world, is the enemy of God. You can't love the world and love God. So we're thankful for what He's done. Brother Bart.